Hey, it's Michael. This is Sunday morning. This is Drive Time with Michael Corman. This is the Self-Defined Human podcast. Today I want to talk about anxiety, because anxiety is one of those things that everybody seems to talk about, but nobody seems to understand it. Anxiety is counterintuitive. I used to have a lot of anxiety, okay, and I didn't know what the deal was with it. I read lots of books on it, and I want to talk about why this is paradoxical and why it's a little bit confusing, because the common narrative of anxiety is not correct. It's very wrong. It's like people are walking around with this delusion, this mass delusion of some sort. It's like, the thing is that anxiety is one of those things where you have to just, like, you gotta understand that it's part of your nervous system. It's something that you do for a reason, okay? And it's something that's designed to protect you from danger. That's the purpose of it. People don't understand this, because we're told that anxiety is this bad thing. Like, it's this, like, medical condition that you have to somehow, like, you gotta treat it. You have to get rid of it somehow. You have to manage it. You have to somehow get it under control, and so that it doesn't ruin your life. And listen, that's actually kind of reasonable, because if you have debilitating anxiety to the point where you can't do anything, sure. But the thing is that there's a difference between anxiety and an anxiety disorder. Those are totally different. And people will say sometimes, well, I have anxiety. When what they mean is they have an anxiety disorder. I didn't understand the difference. And I was doing a quiz once, and it was in the back of a book. Well, I don't know if it was in the back of the book. I say it's in the back of the book because I had a notebook. It was a planner, and it had a little pocket in the back where you could store things. And so I printed out the quiz, and I filled out the quiz, and then I put it in the back of my notebook. Okay, so that's why I'm thinking of the quiz as being in the back of the book. It's in the back of my notebook. That's where I stored the paper. Okay, that's not where it was in the actual book. It was in a book by David Burns. I think it was the Feeling Good Handbook. I think that was the book it was in. And which is not a bad book, by the way. You know, you could check it out. It's about cognitive behavioral therapy, which is one of the major types of therapy. It's one of the big ones. And, you know, it's insurance companies like cognitive behavioral therapy, which is CBT for short. They like it because it's like self-contained. It's like you do it within a certain number of sessions. That's the idea. So it's like they can just, you know, you kind of have like a fixed cost to it, as opposed to something that just goes on and on for years and years and years. I don't think that's really inherent in CBT. I don't know what that's all about. That's just the way that it works. The whole thing is a little bit messed up. Like, even to be thinking of psychotherapy as being like in the medical field is strange to me, because it's not really medicine. It doesn't have anything to do with that. But anxiety is a book where it's a lot about anxiety. And I was thinking, like, I have anxiety. And I was like trying to fix my anxiety and trying to read this book and I had a bunch of books that I was reading. I had a lot of books about CBT. I was working on social anxiety. That was a big one, but all kinds of anxiety. You know, because as you read about this stuff, you start to realize that all the anxiety disorders, there's like social anxiety disorder, there's post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, there's generalized anxiety disorder, there's obsessive compulsive disorder, you know, all these things. These are all anxiety disorders. And you start to realize as you read about them that you have all of them, okay? Because everybody has all of these things. It's called growing up as a human being. It's called living in society and learning from society, you know, and learning. And it's just called learning. That's the word for it, okay? As you learn, you acquire all of the anxiety disorders. And so some people, it bothers them, okay? It causes big problems. And maybe it really causes problems, or maybe it's like in their head it causes problems, or somebody else thinks it causes problems or whatever. So then they get labeled with this anxiety disorder. And I'm not trying to put down anxiety disorders. I'm not trying to say they don't exist or that they're not a problem. That's not my point. My point is that these are natural, like they're natural functions of the human brain. And they're natural consequences of our culture too. And we all have them, okay? And they're not medical conditions in the way that the COVID virus is a medical condition, okay? That it's it's something that is abnormal. Okay, it's something that you have it or you don't have it, and the people who have it should be treated for it, because like it's fundamentally different to have it than to not have it. But a lot of psychiatric disorders are they're normal things that everybody has to some degree. So the issue is not whether you have it or don't have it. The issue is, what is it doing in your life? What is it? Is it causing problems for you? Would you be better off treating it than not treating it? Or maybe there's some way to deal with it that does not involve treating it, okay? Maybe the problem is not the disorder. Maybe the problem is your life circumstances. Maybe there's something wrong with, you know, maybe you have the wrong job. Maybe you have the wrong, you know, you're married to the wrong person. Maybe your routines, your habits, your diet, your all kinds of things could just be off, and as a result it kind of causes friction with some of the things, some of the habituated patterns that you have in your nervous system. And that doesn't mean that you have it doesn't mean that the pattern itself is a disorder, okay? It just means that you're not suited to your environment, and maybe it's you that has to change, maybe it's your patterns that have to change, maybe it's the environment that has to change. Maybe the problem is that your expectations are too high, and you know, maybe it's something that you should learn to live with and learn how to kind of make the most of. Maybe it's a strength that you think is a weakness, and maybe it's something that you're not appreciating the actual skills that you have and the degree to which that's actually potentially very helpful for you. Who knows? You have to kind of look at it and see. But people jump to this conclusion that anxiety is this medical problem that has to be eliminated. Now, people are going to say that I'm invalidating everything, and you know, and look, if that's not you, listen. If you think that I'm anticipating objections, and the reason I'm anticipating objections is that I've heard these objections so many times. Okay, so many people have told me, gotten on my case for this. You know, saying that I'm invalidating them, that I'm not taking it seriously, that I'm, you know, and I'm anticipating this stuff, and I want to anticipate it because my responses to those objections are important. They're part of the thing I'm trying to communicate here. Okay, so you know, maybe I'm going too fast for you. Okay, if you think I'm going too fast, then I don't know. Maybe I am. Okay, I wish I could slow it down somehow, or wish I could stay. I don't know. I can't get the words out fast enough. So for me, it's like I wish I could go faster, but I can't talk faster. I can't get it out faster. There's so much going on in my head. I can't get it out. So we're just gonna have to take this one step at a time. I'm trying to make my sentences make sense, but I don't know. I don't know what's gonna happen. I probably am going way too fast. There's probably just so much information. Should probably slow this way down. This is Sunday morning slow drive time with Michael Corman. This is your source for cool, relaxing drive on Sunday morning. Here we are talking about anxiety. Anxiety. We all have it. We've all heard of it. What is it? What do we do about it? Let's find out. Take a seat, relax, kick your feet back. This is Slowing Down with Michael Corman. Here we are, just taking it easy, just driving down the highway. Anxiety. What do we do with it? No one knows. I know. So, yeah. I think that anxiety, the thing you gotta do is meditate. Why do you have to meditate? Why? Let's think about it for a second. Just let it sink in. Let it soak in. Let yourself marinate in that for a little while. There's nowhere to go. We're not in a hurry. We're just hanging out on the highway. Just hanging out. Just cruising along. Here we are. We need to meditate. Meditate. Why? 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 Why do we need to meditate? Why? Why? Maybe you think meditation is because meditating is relaxing. Meditating is allows you to de-stress and decompress. That's not the point of meditation, though. At least not the kind of meditation that I'm pushing. Core meditation is different. Core meditation is based on the Buddhist Vipassana meditation. Is it the same thing? Is it a rebranding? Yes, it is. Let's be clear. But it's with the Michael Corman spin, updated for these modern times, for our modern problems. Core meditation, which I'll just call meditation, because I believe in tools, not schools. Core meditation, also called mindfulness meditation. That's what we call it in the West, mindfulness meditation. Mindfulness. That's a word you hear. People say, I don't want to meditate. I want to meditate, but not for mindfulness. I'm not really into mindfulness. Because they don't know what mindfulness means. Well, I'm here to clear up all your misconceptions. Because that's what I'm about. I love clearing up misconceptions. I love busting myths. I love setting the record straight. I love being correct. Not because of my ego. It's not because I want to be more correct than you. I just like being correct because I think being correct is cool. It's like putting a jigsaw puzzle together and all the pieces fit together. Like that's cool when that happens. It's not cool when all the pieces don't fit together and you have to jam them together and they're all sticking out and all pointing every direction and nothing makes sense. That's not cool. What's cool is when everything fits together. So that's why I want to clear up your misconceptions about meditation. Hold on, I gotta stop and get some gas or I'm not gonna make it. So let's do that right now. Just a tiny bit, because I'm kind of on a strict schedule here. The needle is below the bottom line. And we're back with the Michael Corman Smooth Drive on your Sunday morning, relaxing, nowhere to be, nowhere to go. Just be right here, right now. Here we are, back on the road. Meditation myths, anxiety myths. So the thing with anxiety is that you've got loops. You gotta look out for these loops. We're taught, the common narrative of anxiety is that anxiety is this, first of all, we're taught that it's an emotion or it's a feeling of some kind or it's this some sort of physiological reaction. I'm going too fast, right? Like this is, I'm talking way too fast. I'm giving you so much information here. I know I am. But I gotta get it out. I gotta get the information out to the people. One step at a time, right? let me try to drop one bomb on you at a time here. That's why people argue with me so much, I think, because they're just, I'm just like, boom, 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 boom. Just like Cobra Kai. It's just like, kick, punch, kick, punch. Just one thing at a time. One thing at a time. We're taught that anxiety, I've already said like 50 things in this podcast, right? 50 things that are probably just like you've never heard before. I have to go slower, slower, slower. We're taught that anxiety is a feeling. Okay, now I've already just invalidated your whole worldview right there, right? This is already just like, you don't even know what to do with that. You're like, what? What's going on? Is Michael crazy? Is he insane? Is he a con artist? Is he trying to trick me? Is he just wrong? Is he stupid? Is he just trying to get attention? Is he just trying to be provocative? Yes, I am trying to get attention. That's what you have to do before you communicate things. Ah, see, I'm throwing another bombshell on you there. Wow. That's what it is. That's because my speech is like that. It's like everything I say is contrary to what people, you know, what the common narrative is. Everything I say, every sentence contains like five things that go against the status quo. The status quo is the best quo. That's what I heard. That's actually really not the right way to say it. It's funny. I think it's funny. The status quo is the best quo. But see, status is the noun. Okay, quo is an adjective. So you would really say the status quo is the best status. Status quo is the best status. But that doesn't sound as funny. You know, the status quo is the best quo. Yeah. Let's just let that sink in. Let's let more of that sink in. What did I say? Anxiety is a feeling. That's what you're taught. Just think about it. Think about what that means. Is that true? Now I want you to think about anxiety disorders, okay? So you go to the doctor, you go to the therapist or the psychiatrist, and you say, hey, I got an anxiety disorder. Or maybe you don't say it. Maybe they diagnose you with an anxiety disorder. Just let it sink in. Let it soak. Just let it, like, let yourself imagine what I'm saying. Imagine the scenario. Let yourself imagine the scenario. Imagine it. Imagine it. I wish I had, you know, it would be cool to have, like, I need a co-host. Does anybody want to be my co-host? Does anybody want to be, I need like a foil. I need somebody who's going to be the opposite of me. There's this podcast I like, it's Personality Hacker. I haven't listened to it in a while, but a few years ago I was listening to it a lot. There's two people on the podcast. There's Antonia and there's Joel, and they are kind of, they're sort of opposites. They're married, but they have different perspectives on things, and they play off of each other in a nice way. It makes the thing interesting to listen to. Because I suspect that some people are going to empathize more with Antonia and some people are going to empathize more with Joel. And as a result, they have, it's like they feel like they're in an interaction. They feel like they're relating to what's going on. But if I'm just here by myself, it's just kind of like I'm kind of lecturing at you, or just kind of like, if you're not kind of on the same wavelength as I am, then you're maybe not going to know what to do with it. But it would be cool to have somebody else here to kind of play off of it. And not like, because I've had guests on my podcast, and it always kind of is like I'm interviewing them or something, and I don't know. That's okay. I'm not the best interviewer, I don't think. But I would like to try maybe having more of an equal conversation, because I tend to like that. Like on the Joe Rogan podcast, a lot of people don't like Joe Rogan. I think maybe some people just don't like his personality, or they don't like, you know, who knows what. But some people complain about his interviewing style because they say he interrupts his guests all the time. And I didn't notice that until somebody said it. I'm not a huge fan of Joe Rogan. Like, I don't listen to his podcast all the time, but like, I've heard a few of them and I like his style. I think he's funny, and I think he's a good interviewer, because I think he engages with the people, like, and he really has an interesting conversation with them. Like, he's not just asking them questions and just like deferring to them, okay? Like, what some people interpret as interrupting, I see it as like he's actually contributing something, and he's really trying to challenge them. Like, he has an active conversation with them, you know, because he's a martial artist, and I think that's kind of it kind of makes me think of that, you know, that he's kind of really pushing back. Okay, let's talk about the question: do you need to meditate if you have anxiety? Okay, is meditation necessary? Can you solve the anxiety problem simply with psychotherapy, simply with anti-anxiety medication, simply with going on vacation, simply with herbal remedies or diet, exercise, spending less time on social media, spending more time in nature, more time out by the brook, watching the leaves fall from the trees? Can you do that? Can you just try harder? Can you just try not to take things so seriously? Do you need to meditate? Because meditation is an investment of time. It's an investment of skill. You have to learn how to do it. You have to practice it. You have to get better at it. It takes time. It's time that you're spending doing nothing other than watching your own mind. It's time that you're not spending doing other things. Stuff that you're probably doing right now. Everything that you're doing right now. If you meditate, you're not doing any of that stuff, because meditation takes your time. Do you need to meditate? Is it essential to meditate? Because meditation is not always fun. It is uncomfortable to sit for long periods of time. It's boring. It might make you feel like a failure if you can't concentrate, or if there are too many distractions, or if you can't calm down, or you can't clear your mind. Maybe you're bad at it. You're going to feel like a total beginner. You're going to feel like everything that you're good at in your life doesn't count for anything, because meditation is something totally new. And you may feel like, well, you don't even know if you're doing it right. You don't even know what exactly, how do you even know if you're doing it? How do you know if it's working? You don't even necessarily know that. So there's a lot of downsides to meditation. So is it essential? Do you have to meditate? If you have this anxiety issue, do you have to meditate? Can you just do it with any of the other anxiety remedies, any of the other common approaches to anxiety? Do you have to meditate? Does meditation have to happen? That's the question on the table. So what do we think about that? Is meditation essential? Well, here's what I think. I'm going to tell you. and I'm going to try to be straightforward with it. Let me first say that it's not easy to be straightforward with this, because we're talking about something that we don't really have vocabulary for in our culture. So if the things that I'm saying are confusing, or if it sounds like I'm skirting around the issue, that's why. We don't know how to talk about this stuff. Because meditation is powerful, okay? It can do real things to you. But they are things that are not recognized in the way that we talk. But I think most people will have an intuitive sense of it if the right metaphor is presented. And I don't know what that metaphor is. Is meditation essential? Now here's the thing. There are a lot of people out there who are very successful, who have found ways of dealing with anxiety, and they don't meditate. So, from that perspective, to say, is meditation essential? Look, there are people who don't do it, and they would say that they're fine. And they might be fine. So, what does that mean? Is it essential? Like, I don't like the question. Most things in life are not essential. There are many ways to live your life. So if you're sitting there asking, do I have to meditate? Let's back up a step and say, is meditation essential for everybody? No, it's not essential for everybody. And it's just because there are people who don't meditate who figure things out. They do it some other way. They get there, they get to the same destination as where meditation takes you, but they don't meditate. Meditation is a tool. You know, it's just a tool. Do you need to have an axe if you want to chop wood? Well, it's a handy tool. Okay, it can do it. It can do it pretty directly. Are there other ways to chop wood? I imagine so. I don't know too much about wood chopping, but I imagine there's another tool out there that can do it. You know, we could use a chainsaw. Is that chopping? I don't know. There's lots of, let's just say cut wood, okay? You can do it with an axe, you can do it with a chainsaw, you can probably do it with a laser. So the question is the axe essential? Well, look, if you need to chop wood, then you're gonna need some tool to use. So the question is not, why would you use an axe over another tool? Well, because there's trade-offs, there's costs and benefits. So is the axe essential? Well, if you only have an axe and you need to chop wood, then yes, the axe is essential. If the axe is the cheapest tool available and you need to chop wood and you only can afford the axe, then yes, the axe is essential. So you tell me. For certain types of people in certain circumstances, an axe is necessary. And I'll say the same thing about meditation. Meditation is the right tool for some people. Is it the right tool for everybody? I don't know. Is it the right tool for some people? Yes, it is. If you're one of those people, then yes, you need to meditate. So how do you know if you're one of those people? How do you know if you're one of the people who needs meditation, who can't do it without meditation? Well, first of all, get rid of this idea of that you need it. Like, it's not even the right way to look at it. The right way to look at it is to say, am I gonna be better off meditating than not meditating? Because if you are better off meditating, all things considered, right, you weigh everything in the balance and you say, looking at the downsides of meditation, that it takes time, it takes energy, it's uncomfortable. Given all of that, imagining your life with meditation versus without, you'd be better off with meditation. If you can say that, then yeah, you should be meditating. So is it worth it? Is it worth the costs to you? Like, how else would you go about doing what meditation is doing? Now, if what you're trying to do is get rid of your anxiety, let's ask the question, is meditation, are the other ways of eliminating anxiety, are they effective without meditation? Okay. Can you just take a pill that will solve the anxiety problem for you? Can you just go to a therapist who will solve the anxiety problem for you? Can you just change something about your lifestyle that will solve the anxiety problem for you? Can you somehow just like look at it in the right way? Can you somehow go to the right tropical destination so that your anxiety problem will be solved without having to learn anything, without having to do anything weird? My suggestion is that you should try those things, okay? Try them. Go to a therapist, go to a few therapists, read some self-help books, see what the kinds of things that they're asking you to do. I read a lot of those books. I went to several therapists. And these things were helpful. But they have their limitations. They don't tend to go deep enough. They don't tend to go to the level. See, meditation operates on a very deep level. It operates on the subtlest levels of your consciousness. Things like cognitive behavior therapy, which is a very popular form of therapy, do not go that deep. They stay on a very logical level, which is not the deepest level. That's way high up there. Okay? It's the level that deals with language, and it's the level that we can communicate with each other on in words, in writing. Meditation has to go, you have to operate below that. Does that mean that you shouldn't do cognitive behavioral therapy? No, I would not say you shouldn't do it. And I'm not going to say it won't be helpful. But it does not go as deep as meditation does. It doesn't fix the problem at the source of the problem. Now, what about something like, what else is there? What were the other options? I don't even know. When you're meditating, not meditating, we're not talking about meditation, we're talking about how you're going to deal with anxiety. Things that you should try. What about anti-anxiety medication? Is it helpful? It could be helpful. I took it. Was it helpful for me? I took a few different ones, a few different kinds of medication. I don't know that it really helped. I don't know that it really did anything. Maybe a little bit, but again, look, at best you're masking a symptom of something. Like it's not, those things are not gonna change you. They're not gonna, is it, should you take it? If it helps you, you should take it. If the benefits of it outweigh the costs of it, then you should do it. Now, only you can answer that question. In my experience, I found that it wasn't, I didn't think it was doing that much, okay? But I know some people that benefit from it, that swear by it. Now, some of these medications are addictive and they become less effective over time. So you have to decide for yourself if that's worth it. But I have nothing against it. I have no prejudice against it or bias against it or anything. If it works for you, you should do it. So that's medication. It's not fixing the root of the problem. See, the anxiety is not a bad thing. That's the lie that, you know, it's the lie that you've been fed, but, you know, maybe by the drug companies, you know, that want you to think that the anxiety itself is a bad thing. It's not the anxiety, like just the actual physical anxiety. That's not the problem. And that's what maybe the medication can help you with, but it's not the problem. The problem is the whole thing. It's the whole thing that comes up around it. It's not just the actual physiological anxiety response. That itself is, that's just part of it. That's one little thing. So if you eliminate that, or if you lessen that, you're not really changing much. Because you're just, I mean, but again, if it helps you, okay, it might help you. Depending on your circumstances, you got to look at your circumstances. It's not something where you're just going to say, oh, well, this is helpful, this is not helpful for everybody. Like, who knows? You have to look at your circumstances. So if it is helpful for you, do it. That's always the rule. Okay, what about going on vacation? What about going to Fiji or to where else? I don't know. Do people go to Fiji for vacation? I have no idea. I just said it because of the Fiji water. It looks like the kind of place people would go. Maybe they go to the Bahamas. It's snowing. Here it's snowing. Not in the Bahamas. Is that going to fix your anxiety? No, it's not. You know, it's not. Even if it, see, it might feel like it is, because when you're on vacation, when you're lying on the beach, you're sipping your tropical drink, it's going to feel like it, because it's like, it feels relaxing, you know? And it is relaxing. Why is it relaxing? Because you're away, you're somewhere else. So all the stuff that's coming at you in your life, like your day-to-day life, is not there. And because it's not there, it's not triggering you. So you don't have the stimulus, so you're not going to have the response. That's why it feels better when you're on vacation. But what happens as soon as you come home, then you just go back to the way you were before, right? I mean, you've been through this. Everybody's been through this. Just think about the vacations that you've been on. Like, do you think that they've made, like, there could be other benefits to it, okay? You might have experiences, you might have memories and stuff that are good and that add to your life. But like, would you really say that it's lessened your anxiety, the fact that you went on vacation, you know, 6 months ago? Like, what? It's, you forgot about that, you know? It doesn't carry over. It's only in the moment. I'm not saying you shouldn't do these things, you know? It could be very helpful. It could be a very good thing to do. But that's not a solution to anything. It's not a solution to anything. It's not going to, like, change you in the way that we're talking about here. So, vacations, yeah, okay. What about just, like, trying really hard? What about just trying to chill out? You know, just don't take things so seriously. Try it. Does it work for you? I mean, really? Like, that doesn't work. Does that work? I'm saying for me. I mean, come on. Oh, my God. I wish that kind of thing worked. I've never managed to get that work. Even though it's the kind of advice people give you all the time, right? They always say that. They always are like, this is what you need to do. Just don't take it so seriously. Oh, don't take it so seriously. Why didn't I think of that? Uh-huh. Yeah, that's not the way to do it. But if it works, do it. So what does that leave us with? You know, what do you do? Maybe some herbal supplements. Try it. I'm not saying, look, you know, when your life is better, like when you've got better things in your life, then yes, you're going to be more flexible, you're going to be more resilient. You know, little things aren't going to throw you off as much. So do it, you know, eat better food, you know, exercise more. These are good things to do. You know, one of the other issues here is that, like, even if you want to do these things, like even if you want to change the way you eat, like, how do you do that? Like, I mean, you've presumably tried this. I think everybody in Western culture has tried this at one point or another. Do you find it effective? Like, do you find you can just, like, make those kinds of decisions? Oh, I'm just going to change my diet now. See, if you think that kind of thing is easy, like, you just change, then maybe you don't need meditation because you just have total mastery over your mind. You know, what do you need meditation for? But see, meditation teaches you how to do that kind of thing. So I don't know how you're gonna change your diet without meditation. Like, how would that work? I can't really envision that. I don't know how you're gonna get therapy to work without meditation. How's that gonna happen? Because you're just gonna, you know, therapist is gonna talk to you, and then what? Like, what? You're not gonna carry this stuff over into your daily life because you don't really you haven't really operated on your mind on that deep level. So what is that going to do for you? I'm not saying you shouldn't do these things, but you really think, I mean, they're going to work by themselves? I don't know about that. You need to meditate. That's my opinion. So that's it. Okay. Talk to you later.